Today on Real Radio.
When Jesus turns and looks and says to the group, one of you will betray me. Peter hears the words, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. What a horrible thought.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John, chapter 13. The narrative in the second half of the chapter describes some of the events leading up to the execution of Jesus of Nazareth. Two of his disciples are about to betray Jesus in different ways. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Living in the Hour of Denial.
Every one of us have experienced, or maybe you and I know someone who believes that they have so sinned and so fallen from God that there's no way back. That they have somehow committed the sin. That they have become so filled with condemnation, with the thoughts, God will not have me. I want you to right now prepare your hearts, and also for next week. Because as we pick up these very same verses next week, but in a different study, we are going to specifically, and I trust with a warm heart, reach out to all those who have felt that they've strayed so far from God, there's no way back. So this is the challenge I'm going to lay out to you this week. Pray for your friends. Pray for people who are no longer in fellowship. And pray that God might touch their hearts, that they might come with you next week to be encouraged, to maybe get their walk right with God again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Because the Bible says that we're blessed if we turn a sinner from their way, that we bring them back into the fold. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 18 in our study together, there Jesus picks up where we left off. He says, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had thus said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on his breast, he said to him, that is Jesus, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered and said, it is he whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he had said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things which are needed for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus said to him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you, or for your sake. And Jesus answered and said to him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Imagine being in Peter's shoes at this point, or sandals, I should say. He says at the table, one of you are going to betray me. You're going to deny me. The disciples look about. They're not sure who it is. What's he talking about? And then Jesus says to Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me. If you were there, put yourself there. That's what a good Bible student does. Wiggle your way amongst the 12. Get at the table and lean in among them. When Jesus turns and looks and says to the group, one of you will betray me. Peter hears the words, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. What a horrible thought. There are two people, jot it down in your notes, that are key to the story. Number one, Judas. Judas Iscariot, well-educated. He was not a Galilean. He was of the area of Judea. We know from church history that Judas was the only one who had gone, so to speak, to the University of Jerusalem. He was a smart boy. He was very well trusted among the disciples. We know this because he held the money bag, didn't he? In fact, it was not unusual, obviously, for Jesus to turn to Judas and send him away with the money box. They all thought that Judas was being sent away to buy something for the poor or to buy something for the feast. Very trustworthy man on the surface. I want to awaken your senses this morning. I want to have you forget the fact that it's 7:45 in the morning and be alert. Because could you be a Judas? Could I be a Judas? Listen, before we get into this, wake up, smell the coffee. Judas did miracles. Judas rose or cast out demons. He had people been risen from the dead. Judas had power. How do we know? Because Judas was one of the 12 whom Jesus sent out, the Bible says, and did great miracles, even to the point where the Bible says even devils or demons obeyed them. Judas did miracles. He was one of the 12. This is an alarming thing. It should get our attention. But the opening verses of John chapter 13 are most significant to us because Jesus here teaches us, and all of us, by the way, from then until now, some very key things about him being our own personal servant. Did you hear me? Jesus, by washing the feet of those whom we saw last time together, he is announcing to us all, I am here to wash your feet. And we studied this. If you were not here, get the tape. And that study taught us that Jesus girding himself up and taking a towel and washing their feet had nothing to do with the traditional cleanliness of having your feet cleaned in the house, though it was a very nice thing. Have you ever had your feet washed? I've had my feet washed twice in my life. One time, a brother in this church broke into my office. It quite startled me, actually. And God had told him to wash my feet. It was the most humbling and embarrassing thing I've ever experienced. It was amazing. He came in. God had laid something on his heart. He was weeping with hot tears. He began to take my shoes off, and I thought, what in the world is going on? And the guy washed my feet. I tell you what, after that, we both couldn't lay on the carpet low enough. I wanted to get lower than him. I wanted to wash his feet. I wanted to wash his hands. I wanted to wash his hair. I wanted to wash everything. Why? Because it's a humble act. And then the other time I've had my feet washed was last year at Father's Day. My daughter gave me a gift to have my feet done. You know, the pedicure thing. Is that the right word? Yes. And let me tell you, that was a wonderful experience. Now I know why these ladies do this. But I felt like a ding-dong. I'm sitting there with all these ladies around there, you know, they're all doing their thing, and they're talking about sales, and they're talking about this and the other, and I'm sitting there going, Rebecca, just stay right next to me. Don't leave. Stay right next to me. Don't leave. Why? There was a woman down at my feet cleaning, scrubbing, washing my feet to the point that when she got done, I couldn't believe they were my feet. It was amazing to me. That's very humbling. But Jesus said this in John 13:15. He says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. It doesn't necessarily mean that we wash feet. We bless others. How do we do it? By loving each other. But what was the message that Jesus was sending us? It was this, that forgiveness of sins had been given by God, and that for the fellowship of the believer, all you need to do in this life now is to have your feet washed in confession of sins. Did you get that? Because John 13, as they're gathered around, Judas is there. Jesus says, all of you are clean. You don't need your whole body washed. I'm just going to wash your feet. But tragically, there's one here that's not clean. The rest of you, you're clean by the washing of the water of the Word of God. You've received my word. But one of you has not received my word. You are not clean. The example Jesus gave us is that we might forgive one another. That's the gist of the whole foot washing thing. It is incumbent upon you and I, the believer, to forgive those who have sinned against us. And we're so silly. We think, no way. I'm not going to forgive anybody. I'm not going to grant them that kind of freedom. You silly person, you. Forgiving them has nothing to do with them. Forgiving them has everything to do with you and your growth and your life. We are set free when we forgive. That's why it's so hard. Isn't it funny? It's so funny because you can try to introduce to someone a brand new thing, a brand new deal, whatever it is. Come on, you'll love it. No, I'm not going to try it. And you'll argue and argue and argue. And then finally, maybe they'll try it. And they go, oh, I just love it. Well, why didn't you try it 2 years ago? Or why didn't you try it, you know, 25 offers ago? I wanted you to be blessed then. God issues to us a command, forgive one another. Why? Because it's such a blessing to the forgiver. Hey, yeah, the one that's forgiven, you know, okay, thanks for forgiving me, and away they go. But the one who issues forgiveness, man, is set free. It's a wonderful way to live. The Jesus of the Bible is not only the one who washes feet, he's a master servant. He's a servant Messiah. He's the servant the Lord. He's the King of Kings. And the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated, think about that, starting with washing feet, no doubt, his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. And so we saw in our study last time that truly Jesus is this type of Savior and servant, when we saw in our study that Jesus is in fact the Lord of the towel. As undeserving as we are, he came to us. As rebellious as we can be, yet he desires to be among us. Isn't that amazing? As dirty as we can get in this life, he has come to cleanse us. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:8-9, if we say that we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How does he do that? By confession of sins. Christians, I don't mean come confess to Pastor Jack. I don't want that, and I don't mean that. And the Bible says don't do that, Hebrews 9:10. Well, then I'll go down to Father whatsoever, or priest whosoever. Don't do that either. The Bible says don't do that. Again, Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. The Bible says to confess to God. Why? Because in confession, Christian, listen, some of you are living under the yoke of a very dull Christian life. And one of the reasons why is because you've never gotten on your face before God and confessed sin to him. Go find a place. Go get alone. Maybe it's a bathroom. Maybe it's a closet. Maybe it's your car. Find a place. And when was the last time you confessed things to God? I want to encourage you. Boy, I wish I had a little spy camera that I could put on each and every one of you right now. Oh, not to spy on you, but to just see if you'll go home and get alone. That right there is the biggest feat. No pun intended, but get it. I know it's early, but anyway. You go and you get alone and you say, Lord, have I erred and sinned against you or someone today? And you confess your sin to God. Man, you know what? You'll get up 9 feet taller than when you bowed down. It's an amazing liberation. It's a great, great thing to come to him. He's the Lord of the towel. Very quickly in our study, and again, this is a two-part study, so don't panic. In verses 18 to 20, there's an extended, I would say, introduction to the text that's before us. Verses 18 to 20. Look at it with me. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, he says, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you, and here's the key, I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Of course, Jesus is talking about the Father having sent the Son and the Son having sent his disciples out into the world. And by the way, you're one of them. So the first thing that we see right here in verses 18 to 20, and we're just going to touch on these few things, is that verses 18 to 20 serves us in a great link between two eternal truths. And that is this. Number one, that God's people enjoy the forgiveness of sins. Jesus says in verse 18, I do not speak concerning all of you, for I know whom I've chosen. But the rest are forgiven. God has forgiven you of your sins. Number two, that they all, we as believers, follow Jesus' example. That is, we are foot washers. We are forgivers. It's what a Christian does. But there was a shadow among those in that upper room that night. Tragically, Jesus says in verse 18, I do not speak concerning you all. He's referring back to the 17th verse. Verse 17 says, last time together, if you know these things, blessed or happy are you if you do them. Say what? Frankly, Judas wasn't happy. He was offended that Jesus would wash the feet of the disciples. Jesus in verse 17 says, happy are you if you do these things. Show love. Express love. Christian love. Judas wasn't doing it. But the amazing thing is to me that 11 of the disciples were completely duped by Judas's witness. Did you hear what I said? 11 of the disciples were duped by Judas's witness. Did Judas do things? Obviously, yes. Were they great? Obviously. Did Judas impress the rest of them? Most certainly. But you know what? According to Jesus in verse 17, down through 18 to 20, Judas is not a blessed or happy man. How can you be in ministry? How can you be serving God's people and not be happy about it? I don't understand it. If you bump into a servant around this church who's grumbling and griping about their service, then you know what? Something's wrong in their heart. Something's wrong. Man, we should be joyful servants. Jesus says, blessed are you if you do these things. Oh, how happy is the man. Oh, Judas wasn't happy. And to the heart of Jesus Christ, Judas stood out like a sore thumb or a filthy foot. Judas was not happy. He wasn't happy about the real Jesus and what he was teaching. He wasn't happy about what the real Jesus was doing. He wasn't happy about what the real Jesus was. He didn't want to receive him as this humble servant Messiah. And Jesus announces a radical and dramatic revelation, a prophecy. He says in verse 19, and I tell you before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am. In the original Greek language, it's I am. It doesn't say he. He says, I'm telling you these things in advance. Now put yourself in that room. We're all there. And Jesus says, listen, what I'm about to tell you is troublesome, but I'm going to tell you this in advance so that when it happens, you will know that I am. He invoked the name and title of God. That's why in your Bible, the word he is italicized. It's not there in the original language. The King James translators put it there to help you understand that Jesus was talking about himself. But in the original scripture, which is fantastic, he just declares, I'm going to tell you things in advance so that when they happen, you'll know that I'm God. That should have brought them comfort. So our first point this morning, jot it down. We have four, may not get to them all, but we'll go as far as we can. Living in the hour of denial, number one, God's love endures all things, verses 21 to 25. God's love endures all things. How so? Denial causes pain and suffering. Denial, my friend, causes pain and suffering. Now listen, I am obviously not talking about the denial that we hear today in so many psychological circles, where somebody denies to face up and to look at what's going on in their life. I'm talking about the denial where you reject someone. Rejection of someone causes pain and suffering. But my question to you is, to whom exactly? I think you might be surprised by the answer. I think you might see that it's to all the above. To me, to you, to whom? To all. Verse 21, when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled. Terazo in the Greek, stirred up like a turbulent storm in his spirit. And he testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. It's with a broken heart, Jesus says this. His spirit is troubled, very agitated, shaken to the point of almost coming apart. Jesus is under deep emotional stress, and he says, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Now listen, people, is it because that Jesus is maybe bummed because he's going to lose one person in a church of 12? Oh, granted, when the church is very small and one family leaves, you notice it right away. If one of the disciples depart out of 12 being in a church, it doesn't take an Einstein to figure out, you're one less. But when there's thousands of people attending church, it may take you time as a shepherd or as a sheepdog in this case to notice that this family or that person is gone. Is that what Jesus is concerned about? Not at all. Jesus is concerned about the very soul of Judas. Did you know that? The soul of Judas. Judas's soul. Jesus is concerned about your soul and my soul. The pain and suffering is that Jesus is grieved about the soul being lost. And so he says in the scripture, Jesus is speaking, very interesting passage. He says, this has gone on that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Quote, and he quotes here Psalm 41:9, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Well, as we mentioned, Judas was the treasurer. Judas listened to Jesus, who was the bread of life, partook of him. Judas was empowered and sent out to do the miraculous works that we know about. But the fact of the matter is, Judas, listen, you Bible students, Judas is a perfect example. He lives out Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4, 5, and 6. That there the Bible says, for it's impossible to renew those who once enjoyed the presence of God in their life, who exercised the power of the Holy Spirit, who knew of the Word of God. It's impossible to renew them back into the fold. That means they're lost eternally.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, giving us another one of the hard sayings of Scripture. This study, Living in the Hour of Denial, is a look at John chapter 13 and verses 18 through 38. We'll pick up with more in this study series called Living in the Hour of Denial on our next broadcast of Real Radio. Meanwhile, we invite you to get in touch with us here at Real Radio if you'd like to hear this study once again in its entirety. And probably the best place to start is by visiting us at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And in fact, while you're there, you can not only hear past broadcasts, but you can look into being a subscriber to our podcasts at absolutely no charge. That's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, our phone number is area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Also, a reminder that Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue because of your continued support. So prayerfully consider how much you can contribute, either as a one-time gift or as a continuing partner. Here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.